Good morning, church family. I trust that you were blessed by the message that your children brought to you this morning. And it's my task here today to package what they learned all week as children and present it to you as adults. But as I was thinking about that, I thought, well, I don't have to, because Jesus says that the kingdom belongs to such as these, to these little ones, to these children. And to inherit the kingdom of God, we should become like them. Children who understand the simplicity and beauty of the gospel. That God loved the world, so he gave his Son. That whoever believes should not perish but have eternal life. Children understand that. Adults try to complicate it. Because freedom in Jesus, a free gift, just doesn't make sense to us, because everything in our life is not free. It runs counter to just our very nature that something like that should be offered for free. And yet children understand that concept, maybe because everything they get in their life is free, until they get their own job when they're 16, right? And then they can start paying rent, or 18, or 35. But this week we've been in Athens, or on our way to Athens, sharing in Paul's dangerous journey to share the truth. Paul, boy, did he ever face difficult times, challenging times, things that I'm not sure I would come out as well as he did, facing those difficulties. I mean, for goodness sake, they made a riot. They had people marching in the streets because of the message that Paul brought, because of the rejection that just became natural to him, that when he shared the gospel, he knew that rejection was going to be the most common response. And that's why I'm in this outfit today. I've been wearing this every week as leading the music and prayer and so on. I took the name Hilarion because they gave a list in our program of Greek names, and I thought, well, Hilarion, because I'm leading these songs and doing these actions and I want to keep it fun and joyful and hilarious, so I took the name Hilarion. But believe it or not, this is not my first time to preach in a frock, okay? So in Fiji, I preached an entire evangelistic series in what was called a Salu Salu. And I didn't even have sandals, I actually had bare feet, because as they come into church in Fiji, they would take their shoes off and put them in a cubby outside the door as they came into their sanctuary. But before we get into each and every point and each Bible verse, let's just bow our heads one more moment for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for our children, for the blessing that they are, for the gospel that they bring us, that we may understand better through their eyes and their understanding. Bless us all now as we open your word. May your spirit dwell in our hearts. Amen. So each and every day was assigned a Bible point. You may have heard them during the children's story. When they heard a Bible point, the children would go, "It's true." And then each Bible point was accompanied by a Bible verse, which you heard them recite. And there was also actions to help them remember each verse. On the first day, it was from Psalms 145, verse 9. So if you have your Bible, go over to Psalm 145 and verse 9. And the Bible point for our first day was that God loves us all. Now, I'm going to have to try and get you to do what the kids did. When I say a Bible point, you're supposed to sign like this and say it's true. So God loves us all. It's true. Let's just try it again to give you a bit of practice. God loves us all. It's true. Amen. And so the verse that they recited for you, and what we'll read right now, Psalm 145 and verse 9, "The Lord is good to all, and he has compassion on all his creation." He has compassion, he has love on all of his creation, on every body. That is quite something. God loves each one of us as if we were the only person that would exist on this planet. I mean, this is just a foundational statement for Christians or for all of humanity that God loves everybody. It's such a simple teaching for a child, but what does that mean to us? If God loves me, and he loves you, and he loves everybody, what does that mean to me and how I should treat other people? If God loves white people, and God loves black people, if God loves Armenians, and God loves Hispanics, if God loves asylum seekers and refugees, if he loves undocumented workers, if he loves gay people and straight people, if he loves criminals and mentally ill, if he loves Muslims and Hindus and women and men and children, then how does that change how I view all of these people? It should drastically change how we see people, because every single person, regardless of where they're from, what they do, how they orientate themselves, is a child of God whom Jesus died for. In fact, Paul says in the ministry of reconciliation in Corinthians that we have been given this ministry of reconciliation so that we no longer see each other according to the world sees people. And the world sees people with labels. You're a Democrat, you're a Republican, you're a man, you're a woman, but for God, he doesn't see that. He just sees a sea of humanity that he loves with all of his being. And so we can't think through Democrat eyes or Republican eyes when we look at a certain issue. We must look at every issue that faces us through the eyes of God. And how is it that we can love this child of God as God loves us? And as Paul begins his journey to Greece, we see this love of God for all humanity shine through. In Acts 15, there was an obstacle put in the way of Paul and Barnabas. In fact, it was a disagreement, an obstacle that they made themselves because they couldn't decide who they wanted to travel with them. So Paul and Barnabas had such an argument that they decided to separate and part ways. And Paul took Silas and Barnabas took John Mark. So maybe this was an obstacle that just, look, it was just so bad that they had to separate. But actually, a blessing came from it, because now there was two groups of people sharing the gospel. Paul and Silas went this way, John Mark and Barnabas went this way, and all of a sudden they doubled the reach of the gospel. What was intended as negative was used by God to spread his love for all humanity even further. God's love for everybody causes good to come from bad. On day two, our Bible point was that God loves and takes care of us. It's true. God loves and takes care of us. It's true. And this verse came from 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. If you come over here all the way at the other end of the Bible, 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Cast all your worries and cares on him because he cares for you. Not only does he love you, but it's not love from a distance. It's love that cares for you, that takes care of you, that you can put your cares and worries to God, and he will look after you. I think this is something that we desperately need today, because worries and cares is what we kind of work in on a daily basis. That's our MO as humans, worries and cares. We deal with so much, probably things that we don't need to deal with. I mean, we worry about the economy, our jobs, our children, drugs, violence, television, whether or not I should get this organic or whether or not this is okay not to get organic. Should I get this? It has high fructose corn syrup in. I don't know, maybe this causes cancer, maybe it doesn't. Politics, terrorism, schools, our kids' teachers. What did my son just shove in his ears? Oh, it's rocks. That's things that I worry about because I have a two-year-old, and I hear about my friends who have kids who are a little bit older and some of the things they do. And hey, you've got two holes in your nose and two holes in your ears. Why not put things in there? And I'm sure if you're a parent, you may have experienced things like that. But we worry about so many things, from huge world-changing things to small, insignificant things. And I think it's our reflex to try and fix things ourselves. It's our reflex to try and figure it out on our own. And maybe at a last resort, if we've exhausted all other options, maybe at that point we might turn to God. But even then, we really don't think that he's going to come down and pull the rocks out of my son's ears. But yet, maybe if we put God at the front of our worry, our focus would be different. Instead of focus on the negative and things that might happen, we might see the opportunities in each situation. And so with Paul and Barnabas, I mean, they had lots to worry about. They were attacked. They were flogged. They were put in prison in the most secure cell, and they had shackles on their feet. I mean, if there was a time to worry, it was then, but instead they sung songs. I mean, seriously, Paul and Barnabas? You sung songs in prison? I mean, weren't you trying to figure out a way that you could get out? I mean, songs. I mean, we struggle to sing songs in church. I'm pretty sure in prison we may be thinking that we'd rather do something else. You know, trying to keep away from our cellmate, maybe, or something else. But there was an earthquake, as you heard in the story. The gates were thrown open, the shackles fell off their feet, and the jailer was about to kill himself because he just expected that the prisoners would have escaped. But Paul and Silas called out to him, shared the love of Christ with him, and the jailer and his family that day were saved because of the care that God takes for his people. God takes care of things, and in the process, his love reaches out to an even wider audience. On day three, get ready with It's True. God loves us even when others don't. It's true. God loves us even when others don't. And this is supported by Psalm 116, 118, and verse 6. That goes like this, 118, verse 6. The Lord is with me. I will not have fear. What can mere people do to me? You see, when you're with God, there's not fear. Because the Lord is with us. People can't do anything to us. And you know, for the most part of Paul's ministry, people were not for him. In fact, through his epistles, we find out that even the believers were not for him all the time. Even the other apostles were not for him all the time. In Acts 17, a riot is incited to oppose Paul. A riot! Has there anything been that we have done ever that the city of Glendale would want to just incite a riot to oppose us because of what we did was so offensive to them that they would want to do that? Is that something we should aspire to? That maybe we're not even achieving what we want to achieve in spreading the gospel because we haven't caused a riot? Because ultimately, the gospel is radical and it is offensive. And people don't like it because it turns everything on its head. It says the first will be last. It says things that are just run counter to the way things work on earth. But I would suggest that probably nobody is upset with us. Probably barely anyone in Glendale even cares about what we do. I don't think they really could care less. They are happy doing what they do, and they are happy that we do what we do, and everything carries on, and it's fine. In fact, the most I've seen people upset with an Adventist church is because we take up too much street parking on Saturday morning. or that the lights in the parking lot are too bright shining through their window when they're trying to get to sleep. If people aren't offended by the gospel, then somehow we're not living it or explaining it correctly. But tied up in this whole Bible truth that God loves us even when others don't is the idea of forgiveness. And the kids experienced that repentance and forgiveness during the week as they wrote down things on their hands and stuck them on the cross. Because God loves everybody and desires to be with us. So he offers his forgiveness freely. Paul was a former murderer. Forgiveness is beautiful. Forgiveness is beautiful. On day four, we learned that God loves us and sent his son Jesus. Don't say it's true. Can I get an amen? God loves us and sent his son Jesus. This is the central idea of Scripture. John 3:16. This most glorious idea is unique to Christianity, that God would come to earth, that he would become one of us, is obscene in most other religions. Most other religions is about you bringing yourself up to God, but not for us. Our God lowered himself so we could become like him. That is a beautiful, beautiful picture. Our God came to us is the message that Paul preached. Indeed, whilst he was in Athens and he was walking around and he saw these idols that the people of Athens were worshiping, that his compassion was aroused for them, that he wanted them to know that there was another way, that these idols of stone and wood that were created by human hands were worthless because they could worship the creator of everything directly. Paul wished that everybody in Athens would know about his God. Or as he preached to them and called him the unknown God, in his name Paul came, the creator of the universe. Do you feel compassion for those who are trapped with idolatry? Do you want to help set them free? And you may think, well, you know, there's not much. We don't walk around and see temples on every city block and see people worshiping, you know, in their homes or on the street, idols. But actually, we do. We still create our own idols, our own traps. Anything that takes priority in your life and controls you can be an idol. You see, alcoholics are controlled by the bottle. Their decisions all revolve around that idol in their life. Food can be an idol. Television can be an idol. Work can be an idol. Even religion can be an idol. Pornography, lying. I mean, you name it. Anything that takes precedent in your life where everything else has to bow down to that, that takes an idol. You know, my uncle is a preacher, and for him, his work was an idol because he prioritized his work over his family. So he's a preacher. That should be the way to do it, right? But no, he had his life around the wrong way. But maybe we don't have compassion because maybe we are the ones who struggle with idolatry. Maybe we are the ones who just wish that this gospel would be more true to us now than ever because we feel trapped by these things as well. Have mercy on us. We are here to set people free, but somehow we are also in shackles. Maybe we need to return to point three. God loves us even when others don't. And he continues to offer forgiveness each day, each time that we mess up, that he has provided an advocate for us. God loves us so much that he sent his son, Jesus, so that we could overcome. Our final day's message was simple, but maybe for us the most difficult. God loves us and wants us to share his love. God loves us and wants us to share his love. It's true. And in actuality, I see even today the example of how this is so true that by the time we get to the end of this process, we find it hard to share God's love. Because we find it hard even after 5 points to continue saying it's true, because we've kind of given up on that. We've kind of given up on the truth of the gospel, because for whatever reason, there's so many other things in life. You're overwhelmed. Maybe the day you were baptized was such an amazing experience in your Christian walk, but maybe it's been downhill since then, and you just desire that same amount of zeal and passion and ownership and togetherness and acceptance that you had on that day. But maybe it hasn't ever come back again, or maybe it just happens here and there. But in John 13, verse 34, our last verse comes from, this is what it reads: "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another." In fact, in the very next verse, it says that by this all humankind will know that you are my disciples because of your love for one another. Is this how people now identify Christians, because of love? I listen to the news and it's probably not that. It's because of the worst parts of Christianity that we're identified by. I don't think it's love. But praise God, because he still forgives us and he still loves us and he still takes care of us, and he sent his son Jesus to make all of this possible. So with the grace and the love that's been offered us, we can extend that to others, so they too can get in on this process, that they can understand that God loves them, that they can understand that God takes care of them, that they can understand that God loves them even when others don't and he forgives them, that they can understand that God loved them so much that he sent his only son, and that having that beautiful gospel come to them, that they'll have that desire in their heart to share that with others, so then they too can get in on this process called the good news. You know, the times that I've met somebody on a plane or, you know, somewhere, and somehow the conversation comes up to the fact I'm an Adventist, I have never had somebody say, "Oh, you Adventists, just the most loving people I've ever met." Most often, the response I get is, "Oh, I've not heard of that. What's that?" And then sometimes, if they have heard of it, they say, "Oh, that's right, you guys can't dance. Oh, you guys can't drink coffee. Oh, that's right, you guys go to church on Saturday, is it? What's that all about?" Or you guys can't fill in the blank. It's usually phrased in a negative light. But I wish that we could be known by our love for one another. And you know where that starts. It does not start by trying to love each other more. You don't just all of a sudden decide, "I'm going to love these people more and try harder." It can't just be something you put on a checklist, "I'm going to try harder to do that," like it's a New Year's resolution, or, you know, "I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to eat better diet." The way to love more is to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Every single day. If you want to love people, then you have to have the love of Christ emanating from you each and every day. Church, as a Christian, do you feel more resentful every day or more accepting every day? Do you feel more judgmental every day or more loving every day? But you know, there is good news. There is good news for us, because sometimes when you walk, you fall. But come to Jesus, because when you fall, come to Jesus. He'll lift you up. He'll put you on the path again. He will be with you. You can keep going. And that's the beautiful message that the kids give to you today, that you can get back up, that Jesus continues to love you and take care of you and continues to offer you forgiveness. He is faithful. He is just. Praise God, we can change our paradigm. We can become the church who is known for love.